have an honest conversation about hip hop. E-Skills on production. What up, hip hop old head? King OG. Park Boys in the building. And you know who I be. It's Son Capone. 2017, and we chiseled up the sculpture. The artists making money, but we do it for the culture. Sipping on mimosas, whipping testosterones. A bunch of young men whose dreams is getting closer. Feel my pain, hear the struggle through my chromosomes. Always shift and see the changes on the totem pole. Got them all, yet today got the scrotum blowed. From the coldest flow to summer sound is so and so. And if they drop rhymes, tell me who your top five. Is it the newer cats pushing from computer jacks? Spit the newer raps and killing on the viewer stats. It's perceived with they performing on the streaming stage. We used to need the aid, now we used to be in pain. And all the streets are paved, boards we want to keep away. And all alliances and regions that divided us. Let's have a conversation, break away the biases. Let's break away the biases. Gotta break away the biases.
Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop.
Yo, what's up? This is Familiar, Dead Broke Entertainment, all the way from San Pedro, California. Gotta let you know, man, one of my favorite MCs, if not the favorite MC, it's gotta be Marshall Mathers, baby, Eminem, that's Slim Shady. One love, everybody.
What's good? This is Matt. I'm in the city of La Habra. Favorite MC, gotta be one of the GOATs.
I think your signal is low. Can you talk into the phone? I can't hear you. What was that? What was that?
Overtime hustling.
Welcome to another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I am the host, moderator, Hip Hop Old Head. And tonight, I got two cats chilling with me. We're going to talk about some random conversation. I'm going to go ahead and always let them introduce themselves. So we're going to go with the gentleman to the left of me.
Okay, I don't know who's to the left or right. I wish I'd open this edible.
Moon Rocks.
King OG in the building. You already know. One half of Park Boys Entertainment. Gunna Beats, Jay Gunna. We in here late night with another episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop, man. And we're just going to chop it up and give you that raw like we usually do.
You know, it's your boy, Son Capone, picking right up, man, the other half of our Park Boys. Co-hosts on An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I wanted to shout out my boy, OG Kush. You know, he was doing the pull-ups, and I wanted to let him know that, you know, I want to continue on with your staying in shape and doing pull-ups, man. So, you know, I want to get into shape, do pull-ups, but I'm going to do mine a little different. I'm not going to do mine on the wall. I'm going to be pulling up to somebody baby mama house.
I was waiting for the baby mama punchline. Ladies and gentlemen.
We in the building.
A minute and ten in.
You better hide your girl. Motherfuckers want energy? Well, here we are. Let's do it.
And he's coming for baby mamas. It's
straight up.
Wild.
Don't let her be fly.
Yeah, so real quickly, we broadcast a line. So let's shout out. We got RJ in the building. We got...
what up, RJ?
We got Ty, the real youngin', man. We can't
What's
wait to...
up? Real
Lowriders
hey, the real youngin', baby. We got
right
it mixing and mastering.
And then Jesse Cabrera, big ups to you. And again, Carter Moises. What's good with you, Carter?
Cool C.
Cool C in the building.
Carter.
Yeah, so we're here just to have a random conversation, man. I know we're normally topical, but we don't have any topics to speak on tonight. I will definitely go ahead and open the floor to you know, any of you gentlemen or anything that you want to speak on in general. Or, you know, do you want to start off with addressing this beat battle that Gunna, you want to get going with a lot of other independent producers out there?
It wasn't really like a... at your throat type of battle shit. It was really on some friendly competition just for the culture on the, just to get some shit going. You know what I mean? Just to showcase really to showcase the producers and show what they're doing and open other cats' eyes and other artists to the sounds that they bring to the table. You know, we missing that element. The producer get left out. You know what I mean? Like, producers are the backbone to the music.
And to the art, yeah.
It's like becoming a lost art. Other than these trap producers blowing up, being real real popular, like, producers, like, are swept under the rug.
And I like the, you know, I like what you're saying as far as bringing the producers to light. And also, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, is the producer family or community not as close-knit as it once was?
I think the producer community is more close-knit on some family shit than the rappers are.
Yeah,
on some diva shit. The rappers be on some diva shit.
I think the egos kind of go out the window when it comes to the producers, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's not going to be either one of us out there performing to the song. So
right.
It's not like I'm trying to outdo you as much as it when it comes down to rapping. Like, you know, nobody wants to be the weak 16 when it comes to rapping.
Right. With the producer track's already done, it's up to the artist to create and try to deliver.
Everybody's already paid. The breakdown's understanding. So, you know, it's kind of, yeah. It's a different feeling to it.
No, I got you. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that, Sime? Like an independent beat battle.
I like it. I mean, anything to do with the underground element, that's what I ride with, man. All day, every day. You know, I mean, I ride on the majors and shit like that in just because of the separation. And it's, you know, the talented folks are sitting under the threshold and not getting pushed. So, I mean, as far as with the producers, I definitely love the idea. And, you know, I mean, with being a producer is, you know, I mean, it's really hard pushing yourself and... With Gunna's idea, what we want to do is, again, not create a necessarily a beat battle, but just basically
so
kind
more of
a showcase. Yeah,
more of a showcase
of their production, and not only of, I mean, because we deal with a lot of artists, and we can, you know, get cats teamed up with sounds that they're looking for, and, you know, it gives the producers exposure, and, you know, the artists you know, get exposure to, you know, different sounds and different production.
I think a beat showcase would be ill to get, mm-hmm. you know, different producers, beat makers in one area, and then just each give them amount of time to go
showcase
ahead and
their
play
best
stuff.
Work.
Yeah,
know?
Definitely. I think,
and I think
be
that's love, man.
Definitely,
you know, we ain't never on no haters shit, man.
Speaking of producers, big up Somali G who's watching. Matt. What's up, Matt? Little
big
brother.
Matt.
What's good with you, man?
Dilla ain't never,
it ain't date night, nigga. You ain't in the room,
Matt,
motherfucker.
Yeah.
You said it ain't date night.
Sweet back got the night off and shit.
Sweet back Molina. And Carter wants to talk about the Raiders. Man, it's a hip hop show. We don't talk about the Raiders.
But you know we gonna ball this year, Carter. We the only team that can beat the Patriots. Ask this Falcon fan over here.
Which one is the Riverside Raiders, nigga?
Riverside Raiders, yeah. Hey. It's a little peewee midget team out of Modesto.
Hey, who y'all quarterback, Joe? Yeah, who y'all quarterback and shit? You don't even know who your quarterback is. I forgot who the fuck y'all quarterback is. Man. Motherfucker, Cerritos Junior College got a better quarterback than the Niners.
I thought they
shit.
Drafted somebody.
The Raiders are acting just like Son Capone, one and done.
Ooh, one and done. Oh, damn.
Took their ass right back to Oakland.
Man,
after all that hype. Let's get back to hip hop.
Yeah, let's definitely get back to some
hip-hop. Before we turn out the lights like some other bitch ass motherfuckers over here and shit.
Oh man. So what's going on? What's going on in the world of hip hop right now? There's a lot. I mean, we discussed some stuff prior episode. You know, let's talk about let's get real simple with it or whatnot. And let's go back to talking about the essence of the current game, you know, the vibe. It being on a much younger, kind of melodic tip. Do you think you'll see more people do you think that you'll see more people trying, and what I mean people, I mean like established artists like who are releasing music, like Nas is coming, Kanye is coming, forget who else is dropping, you know, before the end of the year. Do you think their music's going to be more current, because that seems to be what's been working for, you know, the masses, or do you think that they're going to drop distinctly different projects from what...
Kanye's going to follow the times. He may come with something different, like production-wise, a different sound, but he's going to be the same Kanye to me. To me, he's going to be the same Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Only way that Kanye is going to get back to being that megastar that he used to be when he go back to that backpack George Bush don't care for black people Kanye. It's like, that's the Kanye.
Can he go back from that, or is like they're saying get out? Is he in that sunken place? Can he ever go back to backpack Kanye, or is he move past that?
You know what? I think personally, once Kanye, I like the poor Kanye. I like the struggling Kanye. Sorry to say that, but...
You like the consequence Kanye, the Rhyme Fest Kanye.
No, like, even his
shots fired, pow!
Even his character was, like, different back there. He carried himself different. He was, like, to me, even though I wasn't a fan of all his bars, like, he was somebody that I felt like he was, like, for the people. Now, like, I look at him like a weirdo, like... Like, that shit he be ranting about, nigga, I give two fucks about the fashion industry. Come on, man. Mm.
Change the education motherfucking game or something. All of them. Ain't nobody worried about trench coats and shit with holes in them.
I'm not going to say that. Like, I ain't going to say, like all of them say, like, fuck black people and shit like that. But majority of that industry is like, sexist, racist. Like, that's some of the most, like, divided people in the country in that industry right there. Why would you want to even be a part of that shit?
Well, I think he has, you know, again, I can't speak for him, but I'll say I think he had a dream or that's what he kind of wanted to do. And, you know, when you get a certain status, when you make a certain amount of money, and he seems to be this way, he wants to continue to go. So if Nike comes to you, and I don't know, Adidas, I don't know how these deals happen. I have no inside information. But, you know, if they come to you and they offer you that, you know, you're going to run with it. And he seems to be a creative type person, so that's probably something that he thinks he could have done really well in instead of making shit that looks like moths ate it. You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's going to be original. I don't really think he's going to come with the times. I think maybe some of these guys that don't have a first name basis in hip hop might switch it up and they might, you know, kind of come with what is trendy. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect for any of the cats that I mentioned, the Nas's, you know, the Kanye's, the M's. M's supposed to be dropping another record. So we have a question from a little brother, Matt Molina. He wants to know, why do we think a lot of great battle rappers can't make a great album? Example, Locksmith, Calico, Loaded Lux are the names he throws out there. So, Matt Molina, are you saying that we've had this conversation before and you're trying to put us on blast right now, or is this a question? I don't like how you worded that. But, and I'm just joking. I agree. A lot of battle rappers don't make great recording artists. And it's crazy because you and I talked about this a couple nights ago, Guns, how the energy is different when you're, you know, I guess, battling, you're still writing. But, you know, it's different than writing a song kind of structure that has to have this hook and there has to be this melody and things of that nature.
Back to the question you had on the last episode, it's structure to writing. Just spitting bars is just random. As long as it's dope, it don't matter what the fuck you saying. There's a difference when you got guidelines. Because when I can just say whatever the hell I want, as long as it's lyrical, as long as it's some catchy shit, I could be talking about 15 different topics all at one time. That's the reason why I say I couldn't say it was better on the last when you asked about the
right,
cover
right,
song.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's just two different feelings. Like, writing is like capturing the moment. And when you freestyling, or, you know, that battle rap, it's more of, like, spontaneous. You know what I mean? Like, writing is like catching something in your head, catching lightning and putting it in a jar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like...
Freestyling, it's like the energy's flowing through
it's
you.
It's just natural.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You.
It just rolls off the tongue. Yeah. So it's like the difference between walking and riding a bike.
And you think that's where they struggle?
Yeah, because it's hard to... It's hard to transition from one to the other. If you don't practice both at the same time, you'll get consumed by one or the other. Mm. That's why I kind of I stepped away from the battle scene to focus more on songs.
Right.
Because
right.
at one point, I used to tell y'all, like, fuck a song. I just want to freestyle.
Right, yeah.
For years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
how you feel about that sign? Battle rappers, do you think they can make great artists? Can you give me an artist who's a great, or a battle rapper who's a great artist?
I mean, I'm not big on the battle rap scene. I mean, a lot, I think what the transition is the energy and the formats, because I mean, they still format, because all that stuff is pre-written. It's a different element than when you used to battle guns, because you was doing it on beats and you guys had to come on different cadences and ride the actual beat. These cats don't got to ride the beat. So it's just a cappella, and just how they structure their words, a cappella. Now, when you got the instrumental or the production, that has no time for it. It's not going to wait for you. You gotta go ride that and fit your words and your melodies and everything into that track. And I think that's where the separation is. Because these cats, I mean, they definitely got wordplay. And they, on the wordplay, is much deeper than, you know, what a cat is writing on a track.
And you imagine creativity. You talk about someone like Lux, who's super creative when it comes to his rhyme schemes and patterns and things of that nature. So you would imagine that it would transcend over in his ability to maybe write a song.
But that time frame on the track is unforgiving. You know what I mean? You know, and before, a lot of the beats were loops. And some producers or younger producers would just steal loop beats, and it's the same loop. There's no transition in the track and everything like that. But, you know, a lot of the young producers, they don't have that name, or they're making that production, you know, to get to the mainstream. You know what I mean? Off a simple loop.
Yeah, those are those like producers who are just, I guess, learning how to really produce a record.
Exactly.
Just looping.
Yeah,
stuff
so I mean, it, you know, it, the transitions and all that. You know, if you listen to Amigos' track, you're hearing the transitions and how these cats are flipping the breakdown of beats and throwing in bridges and, you know, how they're adding in the hooks and things like that. There's a lot more.
I like what play. They do.
No, I
think
they're
hella creative to me. Like, I think cats be hating for the most part.
Really?
Because it's a lot of whack. It's a lot of worse rappers word for word that sound way worse than the Migos songs that I didn't heard. Like,
well, I think like with the Migos, with the production is great. You know, you got them 808s hitting, but I think the MVP of like the Migos and the Futures and even with Gucci, I think the engineer is the MVP of them tracks. We're getting them doubles in and getting them clear and doing them effects on the vocals, you know what I mean, which make them doubles and everything stand out. I mean, what they're saying is cool, but it's them doubles and them ad-libs, not the doubles, but the ad-libs is what stand out for
the
tracks.
Song. Yeah, shout out to, again, his name is Quavo. Shout out to him from Domingos. If you didn't hear, in Brazil, they have a mural, lifelike mural of,
already,
of Quavo.
Huh?
Quavo, yeah.
That's crazy.
You know what? I think, if I'm not mistaken, most of the Migos, they Haitian or something like that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They pulled up on Joe Buttons like some Haitians did. Shout out to the Haitians
hey,
on that
man.
One.
Going to catch
they,
you.
They did pull up.
Just man, you can't judge people by their clothes nowadays. You get your ass whooped by somebody that
in some skinny
like,
jeans and
now,
a
it
flannel.
May look weird to you, but that don't mean that they heart ain't there. So.
They yeah. shell. That's who they
yeah,
are. They
that's
they
what
and they,
they
skin.
Like to do. Like man, it's some gay guys out there that'll put tips on your ass.
Hey,
you know what I mean? So you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Nah, for real.
You know, that's a good life lesson for those that don't know. So we got David checking in. What's good, David? He's was checking in the last episode. He's checking in live with us. And if you're listening not on Facebook Live, you'd be like, Diami, why are you just yelling out rounding people? But we're doing Facebook Live as we're recording the episode, so bear with me as I
what
shout
up,
out
some
Dirk? Folks. David wants to know our thoughts on Ninth Wonder and Little Brother. So I'll start off by saying I personally believe Ninth Wonder's whack. Little Brother is probably the trashiest group in hip hop. Now I'm just playing. Look at y'all looking at me like I'm crazy.
Like, man.
Man. What can I say about Little Brother other than I think they're very slept on as far as one of the illest groups ever? Fonte, I consider one of the illest MCs ever.
Fonte's one of those,
And ninth is when Pete Rock was not Pete Rock, and ninth was keeping that alive and then turned it into his own thing, which, you know, you definitely have to give love to. And honestly, this might be an old head, unpopular opinion in regards to hip hop, but I like ninth better than I like Pete Rock.
Oh.
Hit to the gut.
Oh.
Molly, I see you watching. Who you taking, Pete Rock or ninth? It might be an old head, unpopular opinion about hip hop.
Wow.
But I don't know. Shout out to the guy, Pete Rock. That's my dude. You know, I still think They Reminisce Over You is possibly the greatest hip hop song ever recorded. I'm always going to believe that. But I don't know, ninth. I don't know. I take ninth by
better
nose.
Better than Pete Rock. I give it to... I think ninth is... His ninth chops is what makes him so creative.
Yeah.
I think his chop game is better than Pete Rock. Yeah. But overall, I like Pete Rock's beats better. But because that's basically... He's the new version of Pete Rock. Like the little brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For reason.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But... Man, Ninth did elevate his sound to another level, though, at the same time. But
he definitely did.
I can't rock him over Pete, though, man. Because Pete is like OG. Like,
yeah,
I can't put him over him.
Okay, so it's coming with...
I love Ninth.
It's about who came first.
Don't get me wrong. I love Ninth. Like, that's one of my favorites. But I still don't put Ninth next to Dilla or Madlib or... You know, a high tech or something like that. Like, he's the next generation.
Okay. I respect that. That's one of my unpopular opinions. And so I agree to disagree with cats on that. It's again, shout out to Pete, you know, one of the illest ever to do it. But ninth is up there, too.
Yeah.
Thoughts around the room in regards to Cormega?
Cormega is raw. I think... other than Nas and P and like Craig G, and Cool G, the real like OGs,
Is Cormega top five queens?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, really, he go up there. You can't leave out Craig G, you can't leave out Cool G. You gotta put Nas in there, you gotta put Prodigy in there, and then, you know, I would throw Mega in there, and then right after him, like, Tragedy or some shit like
who
that.
Who else are we missing from Queens? Play Devil Advocate on this one.
I think we had this Queens lineup before. You know what? I thought about what we said before. I will put LL in his prime before I put 50 Cent.
Okay. So would LL be top five Queens?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
The real LL, not Loverman. But
So we're going just off top. Nas,
Cool G
Rap, LL Cool J, Prodigy. Who's the fifth man?
Craig G. You gotta put Craig G.
Put Craig G up there.
Juice Crew.
So above Cormega, above 50, of course. You put Craig G there. Okay, that's a solid lineup.
But you know, they were the other cats would come right behind it. But I gotta put the OGs first. Craig G, Cool G. Even though Shan is OG. He didn't have bars like that to me.
Yeah,
so,
Champ was a different era of Queens hip hop.
You know what I mean? Like, so I have to put them two cats first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and David listening or watching on Facebook agrees that LL is top five Queens MC.
Yeah,
I was a big LL fan up until
LL
like you said.
Was the dopest rapper in hip hop at one point. For a couple years, just like
crazy.
Cube had the crown for a couple years.
And let's dig a little deeper in regards
to
that. Do you believe LL was always using ghostwriters?
No.
So you think when he became, like you said, Mr. Loverman, I Want to Love You Better. What was the track with Boyz II Men? Hey Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, he had a grip of them. Like,
Django.
Yeah.
He was running, man.
It's touch you, why don't you? Touch you, why don't you?
Yeah.
That was the wackest shit I ever heard. No, that's when done with L. He used to be my favorite rapper at one point in life, nigga, but that motherfucking head sprung is the garbage shit. Timberland, nigga, that's
I think Head Sprung is probably one of the worst records in hip hop history.
Yeah.
It was just Lord have mercy. What'd he say? If your man something can't buy you a drink, have him reimburse me or something like that. It was just horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. It was like a reach, super reach at that time.
And then it sounded just like Petey Pablo and all the other Timberland songs that was popping at that time.
Yeah,
And then another one, a horrible song that was popular as fuck, Ja Rule Clapback. I don't know how that one lasted so long. That was
Ja had a bunch of horrible songs that were popular for a long time. And I'm saying this, I never was a Ja Rule fan. This has nothing to do with the way 50 came and it killed his career. You know, but I just never was. I never understood. He went from being, you know, DMX Pac hybrid to he's skipping in county fairs and sweaters with Ashanti and poodle skirts by Ferris wheels. I just, man, they went left with that Murder Inc. It was called Murder Inc. And you got the dude in the video with cotton candy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
they murdered masculinity. That's what they murdered.
That's like, crazy right there. That I never really was a. I got the Murder Inc. music by through other people that was around me. when I couldn't control it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when it's not my car, so I can't just
change
the song. Like,
and it was heavy with the females around then. We can't front. Yeah, it was heavy with them.
That first Ashanti album had a couple of cuts on there.
Yeah, the first
Ashanti
album. Cool.
You know what I mean? Shit, they left
it. It wasn't totally whack, but that Murder Inc.
No, I'm just saying
what
Ja was doing late. At the end of the run of Murder, Inc.
I wasn't feeling the Murder, Inc. run. Like, I don't know. It was too smiley face for me. And then all the duets and shit. Like, that's
Well, there was one track when Ja was on the track with, like, every female on the Murder, Inc. roster. They had even the female who, like, makes the sandwiches in the cafeteria. Yeah. She had a verse.
Nigga, remember what?
She's like, it's a burger. You know?
Remember Vita, nigga?
Vita. They had Vita. Oh, man. Okay, so they had Charlie Baltimore. They had Vita. They had, there was another chick, too.
Where was Lil Mo?
Little Mo, they rode that Little Mo wave. That was there was a Little Mo period of.
She was almost murdering.
Yeah. Well, there's a period of
that
music
was the formula.
Basically Little Mo's gonna take us to the promised land on that. You know, she had all kinds of different hooks. There was the one where they were by the gravesite or whatever. I think he stole the Temptations track or whatever. You cry, we something like that. I can't remember.
Damn, it was a lot of fucking duets.
That
nigga had the J-Lo song. He had the Always
J-Lo songs. There was a couple of those on there.
The first Ashanti's feature was that Always There When You Call shit.
Right, that was her first song.
Yeah. All time.
Charlie Baltimore.
I hated that shit, man.
Damn, he did.
He was a duet.
He was a duet master, nigga, for
that's
a minute.
You know what? That's why I'm... Man, I don't know who's running Ja's career, but they need to get him at one of these casinos. No lie. Get him at one of these casinos.
His performance money.
And he could do Ja Rule the duets. Real spit. And, you know, when J-Lo's in town, come through and do Ja Rule the duets. Could you imagine? People would pay to see Ja and J-Lo doing their thing. People in Vegas spend money on BS.
Yeah, you got to think about it. All them people... All the little young boppers from that generation is all cougars with kids now, so they gonna come out to see that.
Night out,
and that's back when rap really made money, when you went multi-platinum.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And this is when I realized how powerful Vegas was. When I was watching that damn thing that Nick Cannon used to host. No. The one that was on regular TV. Like Channel 7 or something.
America's Got Talent,
yeah.
When the prize was... You would be booked on for a Vegas show for whatever period of time it was, and people obviously there was enough following to continue for this to be successful every single year. You know what I mean? That's when I knew stuff was wild. crazy. So, hey, man, any of these old rappers, R&B artists or whatever, you need to be in Vegas doing your thing. Bobby Brown should have the Bobby Brown show from one of these hotels. You know what I'm saying? You need to get that Vegas, you know, hotel resort spread money. You know, that's what you need to be doing twilight of your career. I can understand why these young cats don't want to do it, but, you know, Puff Puff need to be at the Bellagio or something like that, bringing out everybody who don't want to kill him that's associated with Bad Boy.
Puff Daddy and the family.
Something like that. I mean, think about it. Instead of trying to go to all these little crazy little towns and do this tour stuff, imagine if they had the Rough Rider reunion for 3 weeks at every weekend at a hotel. Especially, imagine what was the NBA this past, or the summer's almost up, but what was in the NBA this summer? I mean, what was in Vegas this summer?
Summer League.
Yeah. So imagine when cats were in there for Summer League. I think that was like 2 weeks, and just this past couple weeks you had the little kid hoop called? The AAU.
And
that little kids. They're kids in high school. So you had Summer League back-to-back with the AAU tournaments, right? Imagine if for that
all
period of time,
shit, yeah,
you would have had, you know, Bad Boy reunion, Jodeci reunion, you know, just different things. These old cats in these hotels. You tell me a Keith Sweat with Silk concert ain't selling out?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Hip Hop 90s night, Nice and Smooth, Salt and Pepper.
I told the homie, nigga, we need to throw a party, nigga. We'll take it back to the 90s where it's only 90s R&B. It's straight freak party.
Definitely.
Straight being freaking back.
Just
that Dina word, Howard. Saying that word. Shit. Like, it's just put
it. They need to open like a little club. They got 80s clubs and shit. I don't know why they don't do that 90s. Like, if they did the 90s, man.
They don't even dance like that no more.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that. Like, now it's like on some whole totally different shit. Like, they more focused on it be a crowd of niggas dancing with each other instead of dancing with the females. That shit is
funny bunnies.
Mind boggling.
I think it's called crumping or something like that. I don't know.
Whatever the fuck they call it.
I don't know.
Hey, I ain't knocking them, but that shit just, I don't know.
There's some things we don't understand. I think is a lot of times old heads, we get labeled haters because there's things that we don't understand, you know? And so it's like, you know, we're not hating. Tell us why.
If I had a son, it's
women,
important.
No, fellas.
You can't
women,
wear skinny
fellas.
Jeans and none of that. You get your ass beat for some shit like that. No. It just would be a no-no. He would already know better. Like, you, not in my damn house. No way.
Well, I think the way that you would raise him, he would see how you carry yourself, how you wear. I think children emulate their parents.
Yeah.
You know, more than at a certain age before they start emulating what's out there.
I don't get it. How they think it's okay for a man to walk around with his entire ass visible for males and females and children to see? Again, that's cool.
Yeah, we discussed this before on the show, and you know, I'll never understand it, and I don't understand why people do it. You know, but there's, you know. That's just one of those weird hip hop fads, cultural fads that
we wear baggy pants, they wear pants that won't pull up all the way on their ass, and
you know, that's kind of who they're looking up to.
It's
that's
funny,
what their
we starting to
doing.
Sound like our parents, see?
Right, yeah, we definitely are.
Like back when rap first came out, that rap shit.
Well, think about it.
That,
what age were our parents when hip hop came out? Around our age now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's that situation where you start to see the bullshit associated with something that you, you know, once, you know, were blind to. You know, it's like eventually you see your woman. You still love your woman, but you start to see the little different flaws, character flaws, things of that nature. But the love that you have for your woman is great enough to overlook them as long as they're not serious.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to say showing your ass out in public isn't serious. It is serious. It's disrespectful. It's nasty. And depending where you're at, you could get got. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's just a real statement. Take that however you want to. But, you know, hey, you're putting yourself at risk for all different types of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know, the funny thing about it is they want to be street cats and dress this way. That's what kind of clash.
Yeah.
The tough guy shit with the feminine shit is just mind-boggling. Like,
right.
You want to look feminine, but you got a pants that you can't pull up, but you got a fucking 40 Glock in your fucking book sack, nigga. Like, you know, it makes no sense.
It's
like,
it's just a guidance issue, man. It's this generation. And I don't want to get too political with it or too,
fatherless,
you know,
generation.
It's
man.
Just this fatherless yeah. generation, unfortunately, yeah. man. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're fathers, brothers, uncles, cousins, male role models are either incarcerated or are living a certain lifestyle, you're going to try to emulate that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, if you don't have a real one looking out for you, then that's why we got so many lost ones. You know what I mean? You know, so.
You think old school traditional hip hop is homophobic? And the new generation is coming off of, and that's the divide between us and the old school and the new school?
I think society, for most point, is very homophobic. You know what I mean? And so it does trickle down to hip-hop, because hip-hop is something that, you know, is emceeing. It's for those, you know, that don't understand rapping, you know, other than storytelling, MC, you know, is like, emceeing is like some sort of sport. You know what I mean? So, you know, you want to be the best MC. So it is very masculine, you know what I mean? And to show any weakness in hip-hop, you know, depending how you display it, automatically, you know, makes you a target. And so, you know, you've never had anybody who's really, you know, I guess been, well, I mean, you might have a couple emo rappers or whatever, but I mean, that's just always been how it's marketed. And it's always been tough. It's always been cool. It's always been street. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. M was maybe the first guy that came and changed that and made it something that it wasn't. But even he was saying homophobic stuff when he burst on the scene, even though his actions were different from what he was talking about.
They made him pay for that one.
You know what I mean? So, right. He had to apologize. He had to do all kinds of wild stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know.
God damn, they gonna be on my head.
I think.
Yeah, you on your own. I'm leaving Park Boys when you start doing shit like that.
Nah, man, I think it's in the context of what you say, and I think it's what you mean when you say those things. Like, we'll talk about this right now. It's a perfect segue. Lil Duval recently was on the Breakfast Club, had some things to say about transgender people, and you know, they lost sponsors. People were boycotting them. You know, they wanted the Breakfast Club to apologize for Lil Duval, and they wouldn't do so. So, you know, again, it's about how you say it, how you word it, what the intent is.
That's some bullshit. Straight bullshit. Because they can get on TV, radio, anything visual, sonically, and put out any kind of fucking message they want. You can make a movie about killing transgender motherfuckers, a serial killer going and snatching their ass off the streets and murdering them, and everybody will go fucking watch it. But somebody give their opinion and say something, and everybody's in their feelings. That's bullshit. Because you can rape a bitch in movies. You can kill a bitch. You can be racist. Nigga, you can do everything under the sun that you want to in a film, and nobody get mad about it.
But is that because in a film it's... It's portrayed,
just because it's a visual.
It's portrayed as fake.
Fake, yeah, but it's all art. It's the same thing.
But well, it's art, but like, for instance, so if I sat here and I said I hate this type of person, right? Regardless, whatever. I hate basketball players over 6'9" or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, is that art or is that me really feeling that way?
An opinion.
That's a personal opinion, and people should leave it at that. Like, this person ain't too bright, or this person is a dickhead right here, and that's just what it is. Like, that don't affect the way one person feel. Don't affect the whole world. Like, I don't want everybody to feel the same way that I feel about
the sensitivity meter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they taking away the freedom of being a human being. Like, you can't even express your own opinion. Not saying I'ma go out and act on. He didn't say, oh, I'ma go out and kill this transgender dude for tricking me and acting like he was a woman and I didn't know. They overlooked the fact that, oh, he's saying that if I got deceived like that, like, oh, maybe how I would react. This is something I'm saying that I would do, me personally. That don't reflect on nobody else. So, like, I think...
Right, and they said that. They said that, you know, they weren't going to apologize. What he said is what he said. I mean, we live in a day and age now where everything is comment this, share this, comment that, you know. So people now feel like they have a right to judge people based on their comments. And that's a hell of a, you know, segue, too, because we've dealt with that within the last couple of weeks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've had people, you know... attempt to, you know, troll cats, attempt to, you know,
attempt. Did that. Mission accomplished.
So I just think that comes when you're sharing your opinion in public. This is what we're doing, regardless if 10 people hear it or, you know, 2 million people hear it. It's still public forum, and people are going to be able to react. People are going to react off that.
But do you think it's overreacting? Blatantly disrespectful. Being blatantly disrespectful and voicing your opinion when somebody asks you a question about a topic, that's two different things, man.
It is, but also to flip that. You know, he had an opportunity to say, look, it is what it is. You know, when they press Duvall, and again, you know, I'm not saying that the Breakfast Club is innocent, but I think it was Envy who, there was a book of some host when he asked, oh, when such and such, Charlamagne was talking about a transgender person who came down to sit with them, and they interviewed him, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's like, Duvall, Charlamagne said the person's name, Duvall was like, who? And then Envy held up a book mm-hmm. with the person's face on.
Yeah, yeah, I think I remember seeing that shit.
And he said, you know, and so they said, going back and forth, is that a dude, is it a woman, he looked cool or whatever, you know what I mean? He didn't have to take the bait, Duvall, you know what I mean?
And then he's a comedian.
Yeah, that's my point.
He's a comedian. This is what they do for a living, tell jokes. If he told that on stage, it would be nothing wrong with it. If he was telling a joke about Bobby Valentino and said, oh, woo-dee-woo-woo, this is what happened with him, that was me, I probably would have killed the motherfucker. Did that sound different than what some shit Richard Pryor would say on stage
not
back in the
all.
Day?
And
fuck
I agree.
No, it's the same fucking thing.
I agree, but we're not. It's not back in the day now, unfortunately. We're in this era, like I said, click, like, comment, share,
that shit becomes
bigger than what it is.
No, people want to put a sensor on your life instead of putting a sensor on their life. Sign's mouth is Sign's mouth. D's mouth is D's mouth. And mine is mine. I can say whatever the fuck I want to feel. It's just that we're going to have to deal with it, with the backlash and the reaction that comes with it.
Yeah,
whatever
that's
you say,
true.
You just
have
to own it.
And you know what? I don't know him, but I don't believe that he really meant those things. And I hope that, you know, his career isn't affected by any of the negativity that's associated with what they're trying to paint out his comments to be.
Yeah, man, they just taking it. They
just comedian,
doing
man,
him
and
like
they
got to
be lighthearted about it. You know, he's a comedian, and that's his bread and butter. And just saying outlandish shit, you know. I mean, I think everything is too sensitive right now. You know, and I mean, nothing against
they're trying to censor
the lifestyle
everything.
Or anything like that. And nobody's disrespecting, and he's not doing any physical harm to anyone like that. I mean, to me, I think it's the issue and the agenda is, you know, being pressed. You know what I mean? Like, I seen, I think it was Boozy or whatever on Instagram today, and he made a point that if Colin Kaepernick, if he was gay and taking a knee for gay rights, he still be looking for a team? And honestly, if you think about it, I think that they would pick him up just like how Michael Sam got drafted. You know,
he would
be
a hero right now.
Yeah, but look who drafted Michael Sam.
No, he would
but
be a hero.
But it don't matter. He had
right
an opportunity.
Now.
You know what I'm saying? Colin Kaepernick don't have an opportunity.
But you got to
like,
look
these
at
cats,
it.
They're pulling cats from
Canadian all the
football.
Openly
let me ask you this. Let me ask you
out,
this.
Look at where they at now. They don't even have to participate in what they were doing before, and they still successful. Frank Ocean don't even make music no more, really.
He dropped an album. He dropped an album like a year ago, and he's been on J-Records.
Not like that. Like,
they're not successful. Well, I mean, has Frank
like,
Ocean ever been a super successful artist?
No,
so?
But he was like up there with Drake at one point. He was that popular when he first was coming with it. He was up there.
Right, right.
Like, obviously, he ain't doing that bad because he ain't putting out mixtapes, so he's living cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's writing for a lot of other people, so I think
he was before, too.
Yeah, I think
like,
he fell back.
Sam's. Like,
I think he fell back to
you
write.
Don't see him on TMZ with him living in a hut somewhere doing bad. Like, they all financially well off. Like, he don't even play football no more. He didn't even really play for the Cowboys like that.
Sam?
Oh, yeah, Michael Sam.
Was it the Rams first, or where was that?
No, he played with the Rams. Nobody picked him up after. You know what I mean? And I think, see, this is where my old school morals kick in as far as I think, like, I mean, what everybody does, they have their own decision, and I respect it. You know what I'm saying? I don't knock anything or disagree with any lifestyle or anything like that, as long as it's done in the privacy of, you know what I mean, in your own home. You can't be doing that around kids. Just like a heterosexual couple, you know, just doing inappropriate stuff in front of children and stuff like that. I mean, it should remain private, and I think that we shouldn't be known or addressed by our sexuality. I think we're deeper than that as a society, and it's just too much to make this or put it out there like that. You know,
let me ask you this question, and this is a sports question. We don't do sports shows, but we'll ask this. Would Kaepernick still be unemployed if, let's say, he came in the end of the season, won 6 games for the 49ers and, you know, threw for 300 yards and just balled out? Would he not be unemployed?
No, because, I mean, technically, for what him not winning games, that's what they see as the wins. But, I mean, he didn't have no receivers. He didn't have no receivers on the
I'm not asking you why he didn't fit, yeah. Why he didn't, you know.
No, but, I mean, statistically,
prosper on the field. But if he would have done as, let's say Dak Prescott. Let's say he put up a Dak Prescott season stat-wise, but didn't, you know, generate the amount of wins, but he still balled. And people are like, you know what, there's a whole lot of whack players around him. We need to build around him.
They're not
him.
Picking him up, bro, because Mike Glennon got picked up. You know, the Ryan Fitzpatrick got picked up, and they statistically had terrible seasons.
Right, but so what I'm asking, though, Simon and Gunnar, is if he balled out, would the risk in the NFL owner eyes, and I don't believe there's any risk in signing Kaepernick, but obviously the league feels this way. They don't want him to be outspoken and all this kind of stuff. If he was balling, would he be able to go ahead and do that?
No, because they're proving a point, bro.
What it is, like, he already showed his true colors now. So he like a eyeball. To really tell you the truth, he disrupted our whole fucking season. We didn't have one of our worst seasons ever because of our players. We had the worst season ever, shit, in so many years because of the controversy. The controversy of him kneeling took over everything. That was the main focus of everything. Everybody was focused on him kneeling more than they were worried about the fucking 49ers as a franchise. You know what I mean? Like, that was the thing.
Right.
That was
right,
the headline right. for everything. When he went to Buffalo, the fans were waiting with shirts and racial slurs and all kind of shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, they were waiting on him. They weren't waiting on the 49ers. They were waiting on him. So it was like the spotlight was on Kaepernick and what he was doing, not on focusing on football. So how can we have a winning season with that political shit going on? It's just everything went to shit after that.
So just to wrap this up real quick. So if Kaepernick put up a season with some impressive stats, you guys still believe that he would not be employed right now because they're blackballing him.
It's a wrap, bro.
It don't matter about the stats. This brother took
it's a
that.
Wrap.
He took the squad to the Super Bowl. I don't know what other stat is comparable to that. The Niners to the Super Bowl. Like I mean, other than winning it, I don't know what else he can do.
So you boycotting the season, Sam?
Personally, if he doesn't get picked up, I'm done. I'm done. And I've enjoyed the game of football. It's been my life ever since I was a kid.
So you'll never come back. This is it. He doesn't get picked up.
If he doesn't get picked up, and
you're done with the sport.
If Kaepernick never plays a game in the NFL, or he doesn't suit up, if he doesn't suit up in the NFL, I'm done with him. I'm done with him because that's they for him just speaking for them to turn their back on him. They're turning their back on me. They're turning their back on you. They're turning their back on everybody of color, and I mean I think we've helped them profit from this game since the initiation of people of color entering the game. And for all that profit, they can't stand up for us just to have equal, or not even equal rights.
It's not like he even asking for nothing out of the ordinary, no special privilege, just equality.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it.
Not even equality, life preservation. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, he's pushing human rights, you know what I mean? human rights. They, you know, they put Vic away for shit his cousin did, and he served his time. You know what I mean? And innocent people are getting killed left and right, and there's no repercussions to it whatsoever. But, you know, you got cats that sold weed in 93 and still in prison. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still in prison. But these cops, you know, there's no punishment. There's no accountability whatsoever. And that's all we're looking for is just accountability. You know? I mean, shit, give them 3 years and we're all right. You know what I mean?
Difference, bro. I don't think boycotting the NFL season is going to make any fucking
difference.
So
are you going to boycott guns?
Really, to tell you the truth, right now, I haven't been tuning into no kind of sports.
Like, thank you.
I've been turned off. I've been more focused on.
You got a record coming, so both of y'all got records coming. I've been focused on everything except getting in the studio.
Yeah, so you know, I've been focusing on me, on us.
Right. So let's talk about that, because we normally don't talk about you guys as projects on the show. We usually just talk about hip hop. You know, topics, and so you know what.
That's some humble shit right there.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Before we progress anymore, let me just shout out www.overtimehustling.com. Overtime Hustling the magazine is on MagCloud right now. And for everybody who rocks with the show, an honest conversation about hip hop, you can catch us on overtimehustling.com very soon. We're gonna have a. Our own page up with bios and, you know, video, things of that nature. So home team definitely supports us on that. So mad love. But let's go ahead and let's talk. Who wants to be the first man up talking about what they're currently working on independently?
Right now, let me think. I got a brainstorm, so I'm the one with all the projects. I really be playing I've been in the lab. This project, like I was selfish on purpose. Like I only got one feature on one song on the whole project, because I feel like I haven't really got personal and just showcased what I can do. I always just played my position and just sprinkled here and there, and I think that's where I'm messing up. I'm missing something because I'm not really showcasing what I can do. I'm always just like little here, little there, little sprinkles, and that's not enough to really build up a fan base like that, like what I really need, you know what I mean? And, you know, me personally, like, I feel like lyrically, I can get on a track with any fucking body. I don't give a fuck who you are. But that's just me personally. The people around me know what's up, but, like, I want to be able to showcase that, like, to the people, to where I like they can know that, you know what I mean?
Kind of
like,
stepping out the shadows and finally getting your just desserts out here.
You know,
I definitely feel that, man.
You know, basically trying to push this brand too at the same time.
King OG.
Push this King OG brand and with the edible company, you know, and the music going hand in hand with this whole marijuana industry and
right.
And getting high, all of it go right together. So, you know, that's a reality for me. So it's not like I have to dig deep to create this music because it's something that I'm...
It's your lifestyle.
Exactly.
You're writing directly from what you live in. And so, that's why I'm excited to hear the new project.
Yeah. You know, I feel like this new project is low-key some of the best music that I put together.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and other than that... We got the Park Boys EP coming, you know, me and Son Capone.
Whoa!
Long time coming, and we ain't going to be playing on that. You know, that's going to be a real eye-opener right there, because we never really sat down and did a full project over all these years, and I feel like we can make a project where you don't have to skip it at all if we take our time the right way. Like basically an underground classic.
You definitely have the potential to do so, because both of you guys have been dropping, or you haven't dropped yet, but I've heard it. But we gave a little sneak peek out earlier or last week, and you guys are definitely making some fire right now. So both of you guys definitely have the ability to do something big. Let me ask you real quick, Guns. What is your current... What's your favorite track currently on King OG?
Oh. That's a hard one right there. Right now, it's kind of like between Moon Rocks and Cookies. But at the same time, I like the second version of Till We Toe Up, too. So, like, really, I like the whole project because I was like, I'm like my worst critic. I throw away songs like it ain't shit.
You do, yeah.
I don't care if it's me. If it ain't right, like...
You're not putting it out.
Yeah, I don't, like... Sometimes y'all have to tell me and stop me, like, no, like, you're going too far, I'm critical. I'll throw that shit away if it don't sound like the way it was in my head when I recorded. Mm. Next. You know what I mean? I judge my music by what I listen to. If I can't put it in between my playlist or what I like to rock from, like, official artists, it's out of here. But, you know, we just challenging ourselves right now. You know what I mean? We never really pushed the pedal to the metal like that, me and Sam.
Right, right.
So this is like a show and prove time for us. And, you know, we not no old cats, but we not super, super young, too. So, you know, it's all a test. And it's just time to just push that brand and really do it. And recently I added another project with 21K. Overtime Hustling Project. I don't even know what the name of it is yet. We're going to do something like a remix project for a bunch of down south, like, legendary songs. And we're Les going to pick half of them. I'm going to pick half of them. And we're just going to take some classics, and I'm just going to rip them in half. And we're going
to... Do you have any features on that, or is it you solo?
You know what? We probably will have some features. It's just only right. You know what I mean? It's just only right. You know, we probably weave some cats in the areas of where the songs kind of generalize from, trying to put somebody that fit.
Oh, so if you're doing a Louisiana joint, have a Louisiana artist on.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, that's going to be dope. I can't wait to hear that. Sam Capizzo.
Oh, man. I'm loaded with projects. I'm loaded with projects, but that's all right, man.
Mexican American, nigga.
Straight up with no papers, homie. We got to survive another day. I got a family in the U.S. and a family in Mexico. I got to take care of, you know. That's how it feel like. But nah, man, I wanted to approach everything a little different, man. And just off the body of work, I'm coming across different producers. So what I wanted to do is work with different producers, get those different sounds and different production, and keep projects separate,
just to
showcase the versatility. So I'm working with Box on the Beat. I got E Skills, J Ready, and then me and Gunn. We gonna cook from scratch the Park Boys album. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got four projects right now that I'm working on. One is almost done, and then the Park Boys is what I'm going to jump to next, and then E-Skills and then J Ready start getting those into the fold. So I figured if I'm going to do anything, I'm just going to showcase the work ethic, the versatility, and, you know, just get it out there. Just get as much music as I can, man. I'm on my Pac tip. I ain't dealing with Suge, but I'm on that work ethic. Let me get as much done as I can, as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited for both projects to drop, man. It's definitely going to be a good look to finally get some music from y'all. And I know we got Lil Rider on the way coming with The Real Youngin' out of Long Beach. So be on the lookout for that. I know you got Macabelli dropping soon. That's the first single. Gun, what's your first single? You made that decision yet?
Moon Rocks.
Oh, it's gonna be Moon Rocks. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Moon Rocks are dropping. So
you'll
get to hear that. You'll get to hear all that dopeness very, very soon. Very soon.
Sir.
So before we wrap this up, gentlemen, any little pressing matters y'all want to go ahead and discuss? Anything y'all want to get off your chest before we end the show?
Not really. You kind of really touched on everything. I don't have no rants this time around.
So this was the rantless free episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. Again, you can check us out on SoundCloud, Google Play. You can check us out on iTunes. You can check us out on Play FM. You can check us out on Stitcher. You know, and coming soon to www.overtimehustling.com. You can check out our page that we'll have up there as well. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thanks for everybody who was tuned in and listened. We'll be back very soon. You know, going to bring back the guest. You know, bring out some special guests really, really soon. So thank you again for listening, y'all. It's your boy, Hip Hop O-Head, D. Moraney, and I'm chilling here with King OG and Saga Paul himself. And until next time, we out. Peace.
Peace.
Overtime hustling.
Stand in the kitchen and whip it. I'm trying to get off this work. Interstate 9 to 5. Them is the hours I work. Migo just dropped me a ton. Boy, I thank God for the plug. Young niggas running it up and giving the profit a month. Bitch, I be riding in forms and shit. Acting my cup when I'm pouring a little bitch. L.I.G. and we the mall, little nigga. If you ain't with us, you starve, little nigga. Game is not based off of sympathy, ho. Pirates and beakers, no chemistry, ho. I hope that you niggas is feeling me, though. Cause I'm whipping these blessings and killing the broke. Tool on my hip when I slide, nigga. F&P 90, don't try, nigga. Y'all niggas on some other shit. So please don't kill my vibe, nigga. Check my stats, my face good. Straight off the key, that bass good. Wear it, bag it, sell it, ship it, flip it. I'm so damn hood. I know that y'all feel me now. 38 high, so versatile. I know y'all ain't see my click in a while. I'm in the kitchen cooking up verses now. Big face hunters, I'm grown now. Bust a few licks, I'm on now. I'm going rims with that Paula Deen. That's 1,000 grams that stole now. Stand in the kitchen and whip it, whip it. I'm trying to get off this work. Interstate 9 and 5. Them is the hours I work. Migo just dropped me a ton. Boy, I thank God for the plug. Young niggas running it up. And giving the profit to mom. Stand in the kitchen and whip it. I'm trying to get off this work. Interstate 9 and 5. Them is the hours I work. Migo just dropped me a ton. Boy, I thank God for the plug. Young niggas running it up. And giving the profit to mom. I'm just trying to get loaded. Forges tough, they bolted. Helmets caught with them rollins. My shoes bleeding, I'm spotted. Spot up shooters like I'm Golden State. Real hooders, they don't want it. Handle my business, my mind lonely. LeBron James and one Kobe. Suckers claiming they know me. I ain't friendly, they phony. Real niggas don't buy friends. Y'all niggas so corny. GFM, what I stand for. God, family, and money. L.I.G. be the brand, nigga. That's loyalty, you dummy. Laughed at me when I was dead broke. Y'all can miss me with that drama. Now I'm running these bands up. That profit going to my mama. Just copped a condo by Big Lake. I thank the Lord for my neighbors. Had to grind hard to shine harder. Them just the fruits of my labor. Them the fruits of my labor. Had a grind hard just to shine hard. Them the fruits of my labor. Woke up with a bad chick, cause everybody ain't able. Real niggas do real things, boy, them the fruits of my labor. In the kitchen and whip it. I'm trying to get off this work. Interstate 9 and 5. Them is the hours I work. Migo just dropped me a ton. Boy, I thank God for the plug. Young niggas running it up. And giving the profit to mom. Stand in the kitchen and whip it. I'm trying to get off this work. Interstate 9 and 5. Them is the hours I work. Migo just dropped me a ton. Boy, I thank God for the plug. Young niggas running it up. And giving the profit to mom. Stand in the kitchen and whip it.